Good morning, how are we all doing? And you know, you never can say thank you enough. And so I'm going to take my turn to thank all the guys who came out and battled the elements and put together everything that we put together. I just love it when men with kingdom hearts come together to build for the future of our children. And I'm glad that we spoke about our destiny and our purpose and all that kind of good stuff. And generations to come, and it's all in line with what I want to speak about this morning. So we just know that hopefully I've been listening to God, and God's not listening to me, and He's telling me what to do and paying attention, and I'm paying attention to Him. And so this morning we're going to do number 4 of our inheritance. Thank you. And so let me just see if this works. There we go, it works. Hallelujah. Okay, so just to get a little bit of a recap on where we've been, because we had the Easter weekend, and that is actually very much part of our inheritance, because if it wasn't for Easter, we wouldn't have an inheritance. But we looked in the beginning, we looked at walking in your inheritance, and then we spoke about from promise to fulfillment, and then we had an interesting title, A Matter of Faith, Following Fruitfulness, and a Good Pair of Shoes. I love it. And then we looked at the Easter weekend, and that speaks about and points to our inheritance and where we're going and what God wants us to do and what we're all about. Now, when it comes to generations, we are all different generations, and some of us are similar and we can identify. And so I just did a quick little look-see and saw what we can find out about how society has boxed us and put us into generations, and how we all live and function and behave and believe in those. Or maybe you've never even heard of it and you're going, I never heard of this stuff before. Well, here we go. So we see, and that all dependent when you were born. So if you were born in 1883 to 1900, you are blessed, yeah. That was the lost generation. Then we have the greatest generation, 1901 to 1926. Then the silent generation, 27 to 45. And then for fair amount of people, the baby boomers. There we go, there we go. Okay, let's give a shout out to the baby boomers. And then the Gen X. They also known as the busters. The damn busters. And then, of course, we have Generation Y. There we go. And they're also known as millennials, the echo boomers, or the mosaics. And then, of course, we can have a look outside and you will see the Generation Z or Gen Z, and they're known as the digitals. Have you ever seen the kids out there? I'm hoping they're going to get outside and get some fresh air and get out there and play and leave their digitals behind. But anyway, so those are the kind of things that we look at. And these are sort of psychological, societal, human behavior analysis. And you can't opt out. You actually are one of them. You actually are. I mean, thanks to Google, this is not my brainchild, but go and Google it and you can have a look and you can read about yourself and you'll go, oh yeah, no, I am like that. I don't want to be, but I am. Because we go through life fulfilling these kind of societal dictates and this box that we put God into, yet we know there is a bigger, greater picture. And that is the kingdom of God. And whilst we have these societal restraints upon us, when we look and see that we have people of the Spirit living the supernatural, we overcome the natural. Where we see God in His infinite wisdom working in our lives, we're going, well, none of that fits into any of that stuff. Because God is out of space and time. God is out of the whole aspect. We have to understand that our life is to extend the kingdom of God. And we see, we know who we are and where we come from. Well, I trust we do. Because you have a purpose, you have a destiny. We sang so beautifully this morning. Colossians 1:12. giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We, as the Bridge, are a multicultural family. We are also a multi-generational family. God is a multi-generational God. We have friends who live in Kentucky, and we visited there some time back, and the son was 2 years old, and he was out playing in the garden, and the mother couldn't find him and didn't know where he was, and so she eventually went out and looked for him, and his name happened to be Jacob. And she went down, she said, "Jacob, Jacob." And there he was sitting under a tree, just sitting under a tree, sort of, "What you doing, my boy?" She says, "I'm talking to God, Mom. And God's been talking to me." She was like, "Oh, interesting, you too. What do you mean by that? How do you know?" He said, "Because He came to me and He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He said, "Okay." God will speak to us at where we are at to understand. That your two-year-old doesn't know that. That God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Doesn't matter how smart they are. When He spoke and He said, "I am that I am. I am Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And we have a look and we see that He is that multi. And this message this morning is multi-generational. I want us to all grab hold of it this morning. I want us all to take hold of it. Because some of us think, especially the older folk, octogenarians, means if you're over 80, you think, "Well, my life is done, my race is run, I can sit on the porch and watch the sunrise and watch the sunset." I've got a word for you this morning. That is not true. That is the enemy's way of debilitating you and keeping you sitting on your porch, just rocking in your chair. To the younger generation coming up, this is not only a message for the octogenarians, this is for you. This is for those that are the Joshuas and the young Joshuas and the young Calebs and the young Jeremiahs. Yeah. This is a multi-generational message this morning. And so this morning I want to talk about the Caleb generation. If you go with me to your Bibles, to Numbers chapter 14, we're going to start there and we're going to have a look at the Caleb generation. Thank you. There we go. Now I've got your attention at least. And the reason I've got this picture up here is, remember what Caleb said? His defining statement when he was actually an octogenarian, but he behaved from when he was young. He said, "Now give me my hill country. Give me my inheritance." This is your inheritance, your internal inheritance that we are talking about. So just a quick little picture while you're turning there. If you remember, we've used the slide before, and we have a look at Egypt, slavery. They were in all Egypt. Passover came, where we just celebrated it. And then they went out through the Red Sea. They got to Mount Sinai. They were given law. They went through the Red Sea. They were baptized into Moses' community. They were the cloud. The Spirit of God came. The sea spoke to them of new life out of slavery into, and they marched boldly away from their borders, tells us in Exodus. And then they get up to this place called Kadesh Barnea. And this is where they lost the plot. And the wheels fell off the wagon and they all sat around there. But at this is where they said, and Kadesh Barnea actually means Kadesh holy. Barnea means wilderness wanderings. And this is where they get to do their 40-year trek. And it had only taken them a year or two to get there. Now they had, you can see the little circle, they just go wandering and spend a lot of time there. But this is where the 12 spies get sent to go across the river into Canaan, to cross over and have a look and see what is good and how it is. And there we go. We read that in the previous chapters in Numbers. And they get there and the 12 guys get sent out, 12 being the number of divine government. And they go out and they get there and they arrive and they have a look and they're excited, and milk and honey, and they cut a branch off and they put it on them because it's grapes, and the grapes, can you imagine how big the grapes were? And they carry it back, and Caleb and Joshua say, "Man, this place is good. We got to go there." And then the 10, not wise men, but the 10 wimps, No, the giants are too big. It's too hard. We can't do this. I just want to say to you this morning, truth is not always by popular demand. Well, 20 of them said so and one said no. Well, maybe you should listen to the one who said no, not the 20. Here we see the 10, they get so bad they want to stone them. And they want to kill them. And they tear their clothes and Moses and Aaron fall down before the face of God. And Joshua and Caleb are tearing their clothes. And they're wailing and they're performing and they're saying, no, we're going to go up and do this. And unfortunately, the majority of the congregation, the tribe, listened to the 10. And then they say, well, we're going to just do this little wilderings. And that's what actually Numbers in Hebrew, if you go back and look at the original sense, the book of Numbers means wilderness wanderings. And it's all about their wilderness wanderings. But let's just read something here in chapter 14. You should be there. Then the Lord, verse 20. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Because Moses is asking, please, Lord, don't do this. Let's pardon these people. Because, you know, the Egyptians are looking at us. And he says, no, okay, I'll pardon it. I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers. And none of those who despised me shall see it, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully. I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Let's flip over to Joshua chapter 14, please. We go over to Joshua chapter 14, and we're going to quickly speed forward 45 years. 45 years. And maybe it is true or maybe it's not true. Joshua's birthday. Just listen to me. Verse 6. Then the people of Judah, because now they're handing out the inheritances. They've gone over. They've done their 40 years. They've crossed over. The inheritance has been given to them. Each one's been given. And Joshua, Caleb makes his great speech. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly follow the Lord, my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the Lord on which your foot, the land on which your foot has trodden, shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have followed me wholeheartedly, the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years. Since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness, and now because I am this day, that's why I think it's his birthday, anyway, 85 years old, I am still as young and strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength is as my strength was then. I love this guy's attitude. For war and for going and coming. So now, give me the nice sweet valley place where the fish are jumping and the deer are roaming and the rabbits are running. Give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day from the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. So we said, well, what are we going to do with all this? Well, if you just go over our sermons that we've been preaching, I made this little statement. We walk in our inheritance. We have the promise of God being fulfilled. All we need is some faith, some following, some fruitfulness, and a good pair of shoes. And then we can go in and we can do this. The way these spies infected the thinking of the people, who after the TENS report saw themselves as inferior, they saw themselves insignificant, unable to, too difficult to, too hard to, and they declared, and you can read it, we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers in their sight. 13:33 says that. Due to the giants there. They didn't enter the promised land. And we get, sometimes we get in, we have inheritance, and we get all charged up, and we sing beautiful songs like this, and then we, I've got a challenge to face tomorrow. It's called work. T-G-I-M. Thank goodness it's Monday. Let's go out. Let's go and take some inheritance. Let's not say it's too hard. You don't understand my boss. My boss comes from hell. As I said the other day, hopefully you're not the boss from hell. The way the giants saw them, they were not up to the task. They had their limitations because they saw themselves in their generation and this is no good. I can't get out of this place. I'm telling you, people, sometimes my mother wants me because I was ambitious as a young man. I didn't understand about stop. I was go, 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 go. I'm talking about in business and the corporate world. And my mother came to me one day because I was striving. Probably not a good thing, but I was striving and driving and being driven and I was going up the corporate ladder and I was, yeah. And my mother came to me because of her generation and her understanding. She said, my boy, just remember your station in life. I was like, what? Don't you want me to do better? She said, yes, but just remember where you come from. My dear mother, please, I'm not dishonoring her. You know I've spoken so well of her many times. But sometimes we get stuck in our generation. And I want us to transcend all of that today. I want us to see ourselves beyond that. I don't see my, that's too difficult, it's too hard for me, I can't understand it, I can't do it, I don't know. No, know who you are in Christ. You have an inheritance. Your Father is the King of Kings. He is the great mighty God. He said and it was so. And He blew and it was so. And He blinked His eyes and it was so. I'm boxed in by my limitations. Well, I want us today to think about what is the Caleb spirit? The Caleb generation transcends all generations. I was 40. I wish when I get to 85 that I'm stronger, just as strong as when I was 40. I found out yesterday I'm not. Not yet. They've got a plan for my life. Jokingly, when we said about getting your power tools out, we just said, don't put your hand up. That's not my forte. So when I saw that electric saw out there yesterday, my eyes glistened there. And they all just looked at me and they formed a barrier. Sent me up a ladder to fall off a ladder. I'm just joking. I didn't fall. Oh yeah. What was Caleb's issue? Caleb had a different spirit. It wasn't only just the spirit of God that he was a noble, a generous, a courageous, a heroic spirit, but he had the spirit of God within him. He had the spirit of God that said, no, let's go up and let's take it. I don't care about Anak and Amalekites and the Herizzites and the Pizzites and any other kind of Zite you want to think about. He was, no man, it's milk and honey. I'm after the milk and honey. Unfortunately, the other 10 guys, when they came back, they saw, and this is my little Mark's theory. When they came back, they all came back moaning. I think Caleb and Joshua were the two guys who carried the grapes. And they came back and they were like, don't let the other 10 watch us, but this is so good, man. Wow, it weighs a lot. These are just the grapes. Did you see the land of beauty and the milk and honey? And the other 10 guys are walking along going, did you see the size that guy saw? Did you see what size shoes he wears? You know, he was tall. He was big. You know, his spear was this thick. You know, and our spears are like this thick. I'm sure they moaned all the way back. But Caleb and Joshua, no, dude, did you taste this grape? He said, no, man, this one tastes sweeter than that one. Come on, let's go. I can't wait to get back and tell the Moses and Aaron about what we saw and what we did. They were all amped. But when he got there, you find that the other people were like, the land of plenty, land of milk and honey, the land, the value of freedom. Oh, let's just go back to Egypt. It was so much easier there. No, they forgot how they got whipped in Egypt. And when they moaned, they took the money and said, no, we're not giving you any more straw. You're going to find your own straw and build your own bricks. And when you don't make the quota, you're not getting supper either. Let's go back. We had garlics and leeks there. They forget about the quail and the manna and the sustenance and the springs of living water that they got to drink after they came through the sea. This was all discarded. And again, I'm going to don't allow mass opinion does not always reveal truth. So, I think I already said that the Caleb Spirit transcends all generations. So, do you know what Caleb means, by the way? Caleb, do you know what it means? It means dog. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's my favorite character. Faithful and trustworthy. Ready to protect and stand by you. Through thick and thin. I think he probably had a cold nose. You know, touch his nose. Got a cold nose. When I was preparing this, reminded me of back in the days. They had the native Indians, the Red Indians in America. They're the Cheyennes. The Cheyennes used to have these called the dog soldiers. And the dog soldiers, when the enemy were coming, they would take, there was special elite, you know, like the SAS, SEALs, Marines, those kind of dudes. They would take a leather strap tied to their ankle, then they had a special stake, an arrow. It was called a holy arrow, and they'd go and stake it into the ground. And they would stand with their shield and their spear. They were not retreating. They were not going anywhere. They were staying there. And when the enemy came, the cavalry came, they were going to stand and defend with a shield and a spear against Winchester repeater rifles. That's some courage. That's some bravery. So, okay, let's go. Let's move. What is the Caleb Spirit? He's a man of character. Is it there? Yep, man of character. He was chosen to spy out the land. He was someone special. He was a leader. Leaders don't just happen. Yeah? Boop. Grow like Topsy, you know. Oh, you're a leader. Boop. Doesn't happen like that. Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. We can do it. Yeah, the water boy. Do it. Let's just do it. You know, Nike. You can do it. We got to just do it. When others were afraid, he stood firm. He was ready to lead and take control and go forward. He had a dream of a land that he had seen, an inheritance for him. What is your dream? What has God placed in your heart? What is the dream that you see that has never been fulfilled? What is your inheritance that you are waiting to see come to fruition? When others were afraid, he stood firm and said, let's go. Let's go and do this. He had no secret agendas. He wasn't trying to manipulate anything. He was just, I'm not looking back to Egypt. I get what happened in Egypt. I'm not going there. Wow, this is where we're going. Milk and honey. Check those mountains. Those big guys. I can't wait for the fight. By now you should all know what that is. He always had a positive upbeat. He knew who he was and who his God was. He had a well-formed character. It wasn't half and half and, well, today I'm up, tomorrow I'm down, next day I'm up, then I'm down, then I'm going around the mountain. Thank you. Secondly, he was a man of courage. And of course this applies to women, of course, because the end of the thing you're going to say, but you only spoke to the men, you didn't speak to us ladies. He stood against the tide of popular opinion. The crowds were going to stone him. How do you know that's a great idea when you change your mind? When you see the stones? No, but he stood there. I'm going to say truth is never gauged by popularity and numbers. He didn't crave or look for popularity. He wasn't trying to establish something for himself. All he wanted to do was what God had told him to do, what God had said. He had a job to do, and he was going to get it done for the kingdom. He swam upstream. The salmon are all going upstream now. It's a great analogy for us here. Salmon are swimming upstream, and they're jumping, and they're doing crazy stuff to get where they need to go to spawn. Only dead salmon float downstream. Man of courage. He's growing stronger as you grow older. Joshua 14:11 and 12. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. This still blows me away. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Don't forget, he's 85 now. Okay? Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. I love it. He had the secret in his heart between him and God, and he never allowed anything to dissipate that, to take it away, to direct him, misdirect him from it. He had it in his heart. He knew what God had called. He knew what God had said, and he waited patiently for that to come to fruition. I know sometimes we just want to flick the button and it'll go on and it'll go off, and then we'll press the button and the coffee's there, and you know, we're a very quick society when it comes to click of the button, click of the button. When it comes to the things of God, there is no click of the button. If you think there is one, let me help you today. There is no click of the button when it comes to God. It takes time. You've heard us say many times, the valley of promise to the valley of purpose, the mountain of promise to the mountain of purpose. There is a valley of preparation. And you have to walk through it. And the problem is that when you're getting to the climb up the other side, that's when you hear the tens report in your ear. It's too hard. You can't do it. You'll never make it. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not talented enough. You're not gifted enough. You're not educated enough. You're not tall enough. You're not short enough. You're not wide enough. You're not thin enough. You're not... People tell you nonsense. No, God said, and therefore I know this, my dream and my purpose he has for me. Growing stronger as we grow older. A man of perseverance. Are we able to persevere? He was maturing in Christ. He had a deeper relationship with God as time went by. When things didn't work out the way he wanted to, and God didn't perform in our God box, well, God's supposed to do this, God's supposed to do that, God's not supposed to do anything. He is sovereign. He gets to do. I am who I am. I am, says God. When it didn't work out for them, well, it wasn't so cool. Let's just go back to Egypt. Defeatist. Scripture tells us we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We don't have to go back. We go, okay, well, maybe it's not right now. Do you know that when God always answers prayer, not the way we always want it answered. Because sometimes he says no. Oh. God says no to us? Yeah. Sometimes he says, sometimes. Maybe. In the future. Not now. Wait. And sometimes he says yes. All systems go. All steam ahead. Caleb wasn't one of the guys who considered, oh, the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. Man, his glass was overrunning, full and running over all the time. Can you imagine being around a guy like that? He is so positive. He is so exciting. He's going to go and get me killed on the mountains with the Anaks. Yeah. I think Winston Churchill got his speech from Caleb. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Never. 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 You feeling discouraged this morning? Well, Isaiah 40 verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and shall not faint. Be encouraged. To those who, when I started off talking about the older folk, Joshua chapter 13 verse 1. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord took pity on him. No. And the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in your years. Well, okay, we agree on that, God. And there remains yet very much land to possess. This is the land that yet remains. And then he goes on and he gives all the land that remains. Joshua and Caleb, you're old now and you're advanced in years. Wonderful. I'm still your God. I'm still in charge. I still stand behind you. And the dreams and the promises I gave you 45 years ago, they're going to come to fruition. 45 years. We want 45 seconds and it's got to happen. We've got to dig deep. Dig wells. Never stop growing in spiritual stature. This is the Caleb spirit. He was a man of great character, a man of courage. Grow stronger as you grow older. Never stop growing in spiritual stature. The passing years did not dampen his spiritual stature. They served only to enhance his prestige amongst the people. He was encouraged to believe that his greatest reward was yet to come. There were still great achievements to take place as he grew older. There is no retiring in God. There is no retiring in God. Well, we're going to take your pension, if you have one, and go and get sit next to a lake, and we're just going to while our way there. No, I don't see that ever in Scripture. Give me my land. There's no retiring. Give me my inheritance. I want that dream that you placed within me, God, that hasn't come true. I'll stand on your word. I stand believing. I stand following. I stand with some faith. I stand with some fruitfulness. And I still got my good pair of running shoes on. I'm ready to go, God. Just show me. You brought them through the Red Sea. You destroyed Pharaoh's armies. They would think these are people of great faith. They'd seen all this stuff. Can you imagine? We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight because 9 times out of 10 we haven't seen all this stuff. But they saw it all. They saw when they... I mean, I think the Red Sea would have been enough for me. Well, I'd like to think that anyway. Because we are fickle in nature. You know? Wow. Oh, chick is a shock. Can't get me. I'm on dry land. I'm crossing over. And then when they get over, and then the water comes down and the Egyptians drown. And then they get to the Jordan River. After all this time, they get to the Jordan River, and they've got the priests who got the Ark of the Covenant on the thing, and they say, okay, the first two guys in the front. Me, I want to be number 8. First two guys, as your feet touch the water will part. That took a lot of faith and a good pair of running shoes. And then this is too weird for us. They forgot the plot. I know years back, did you ever see the movie Chicken Run? And there was I know you're laughing, I can see it. It was a skit on The Great Escape. And these chickens are there, and the reason they're there is because they're going to be made into meat pies. Chicken pies. Chicken pies, yeah. Well, chicken's also meat. And they get there, and the one says, I don't want to be a pie. I know. Do you remember the expression, and the chicken didn't have beaks, they had teeth like humans. I don't want to be a pie. And then the other one says, I don't like the gravy. and they're getting swallowed up in this whole thing. They'd lost the plot. We need to keep God in focus all the time. One way to grow stronger and older is to keep testifying of the goodness of God in your life. Don't tell me what happened to you in 1924. Tell me what happened in 2014 on the 27th, thank you, of April. Tell me what God did for you then or what He did yesterday. Let's not go back. Well, in 1987, I remember. It's like, yo, well, so what's God been doing in your life since 1987? I'm not sure. Oh, you're not going to like this one. Exact some persecution upon yourself. That's how you'll grow in spiritual stature. Take a little bit of rejection. Step out of the thing. I don't know where the box has gone, but those handout cards. Oh, here we go. Look how nicely we hid it away. Take some of these and hand them out. Take them and hand them out. Knock on doors. Go walk across the road to your neighbor. Hi, what do you want? I just come to cut your grass. Well, can't you see I'm cutting it? Oh, no, but don't tell them you're going to do a better job. Just never stop growing a spiritual stature. Numbers 14 verse 8. No, that's jumping ahead there. You know, the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, it's what we call the great ham sandwich, right? God tells them how terrible they were and what they're not doing. And then He gives them a little bit of truth and us. But, you know, you've been doing this well. And then there's the bread at the bottom to make this nice ham sandwich. And He says to them, He says it's that you actually haven't lost your first love. You've abandoned or left your first love. We often read it, he lost his love for Jesus. No, he's left it. He's abandoned it. We need to stay there. Oh, where are we? I don't know what point we're on now. 1, 2, 3, 4. Helps if I just do it. He was a man of faith no matter the opposition. He flourished in a sea of pessimism. Even when he was about to be stoned. Do we get the magnitude of that? Can you imagine your army, your soldiers, your buddies, all standing around saying, let's stone him, let's kill him. And all you can do is look up to heavens and weep and cry and say, God, help them. When he saw when those all around him saw the giants, he just saw possibilities. He just saw opportunities. When they saw the tsunami, Caleb said, let's get a surfboard and ride this thing. When the people were negative, he stood against their fear with an attitude of, let's go get them. Just hold that stone. I have another thought for you. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and He will give it to us. Sorry to harp on it, but that's faith. That's following. That's fruitfulness. I'll just leave off the shoes for now. He remained whole and cooperative. When Joshua replaced Moses, Caleb must have been on there. Because if you listen to and you read the scriptures, Caleb does a lot of the speaking. He does, let's go, let's do this, that. He didn't have a hidden agenda. He wasn't looking to be the leader. And when Moses made Joshua the leader, or God did, Caleb, I'm sure, said, okay, let's go do this thing. We can do this. Let's go hold. He didn't dwell what was on supposed to be his or not supposed to be his. He is willing to support and follow God's plan right through to the end. He was a great follower and a great supporter of God's chosen man. He was, no, we can do this. We're fine. This is our money into my 20th year here. I'm now 60. I can still do this. Let's go. He didn't know that he had to wait another 25. He wanted his land. He had a dream of a promise God had made to him. What promises have God made to you that haven't come to fruition? Hold on to them. Pull them off the shelf. Take them out the box. Dust them. Pray over them. Stand on them. Declare them. Well, the last prophetic word I got didn't work for me so well, so now I want another one. How about waiting for God to fulfill the one that He already gave you? How about pressing in? We can't make it happen. I just want to be clear on that. But when we are faithful, God will bring it to fruition. Let me say this for you. What is best for someone else can ever only be second best for you. What is best for someone else can only ever be second best for you. You can't see, well, look how Michael is so favored. Let's not pick on Michael. Look how favored Kevin is. You know, we were chatting a little, you don't mind me sharing. You don't know what I'm going to share, but that's okay. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you were nearly without a job.
About 6 years
ago. 6 years ago. He wasn't performing. He doesn't mind me. He was trying. He was doing his best. And they were looking at him saying, no, dude, you're not good enough at this thing. And you know what? He was faithful. He followed. He was fruitful. And he had still got a good pair of shoes on. And he was faithful to God and what God was showing him to do and what to do. And now you all want to walk in his shoes. You didn't have to pay the price that he paid to get where he is. Yeah. What is good for him can only be second best for you. See what God has for you. Yeah. I think this is the last one. He received his reward. At 85 years old, he was given his land that had been promised to him 45 years ago. This didn't allow him to sit back and take it easy. Joshua 15 verses 14 and 15. From Hebron, Caleb, so we heard that he got Hebron, drove out the three Anakites. Shishashi, I mean, there's some names for you. Who's going to have a baby soon? Here's some names for you. Shishashi, Ahimon, and Talmai, descendants of Anak. From there he marched against the people living in Derba, formerly called Kiriath Sifa. Big words. God is an inheritance for each one of us. He has an inheritance that is here and eternal. That's where we're looking, our internal inheritance. He has one for us corporately as the bridge. We can step into the inheritance, or we can step back, we can go, we can say be like the 10, or we can be like the 2. When we become part of the Caleb generation by not accepting the status quo, we can say, no, there's something better ahead for me. God has promised it to me. God has proven himself to me. I think I've used this before, and our daughter was in a hijacking once in a bank. They poured gasoline over her, and they were going to set her up and kill her. And she lay on the floor saying, Lord Jesus, I know I'm not going to die today because there are promises that have not come been fulfilled in my life as yet. That was how she didn't freak out. She says, no, God, you. And then she thought, I'm wearing my mom's jacket. My mom's going to kill me. It's got gasoline all over it. But when we have promises of God, we have to stand on them. I mean, I love what we said to Jeremy. One of the things the Lord said to us when Bridget and I came here, he said, you're not going to build this church for yourself. You're going to build it for the third and fourth generations. So I love this thing that we're doing outside here because it talks of longevity. It's not just for now, it's for the future people to come, the generations to come afterwards. We stand on that and we believe it. We didn't get disappointed. Oh, well, we want to be famous. We were like, no, okay, God, that's fine. We can work with that. But how cold is it really there, God? Go find out. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land. A land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because He will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So the question this morning, just to close, what giants do you have in your life? What annexes are there in your life that you are holding back from God? Today is a great day to declare, give me my inheritance. Give me my hill country. Set aside the hindrances. Take hold of this, that God will do it for us. You know, when you read in Ephesians chapter 6, we see there, he doesn't say put on the whole armor. That's what this was all about for God. He doesn't say go out there and fight and slay dragons. So all you have to do is lift the shield of faith, or deflect the flaming arrows. He says all you have to do is the gospel of peace, which are the shoes you wear. You already have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. He says stand. And when you have done all this, stand. That's all we got to do. We don't have to get crazy and charge and scream and think we're going to, well, what do we have to fight? And what strongholds do we have to pull down? God will do it for us. We just got to stay faithful to Him. Stand on His word. Let's stand together. I just want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray that if there are giants in your lives, if there are things that you going, it's too hard, Lord. It's too difficult. Even perhaps just to say, this Christian walk, this is too difficult. It's hard. I can't do it. No, you can't. And you're not meant to. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think Kevin started, I kept wanting to shout out, in Him we have an inheritance. In Him this, in Him that, in Him the other. So Father God, we come to You this morning, Lord. Holy Spirit, will You highlight to us the areas in our life where we might have stepped back from the things that You've promised us, the dreams that You've given us, the visions that You've spoken us, the words that You've given us. As Ken said, Lord God, that we would not be a coal sitting on the hearth, Lord God, that we would be in the center of the flame, where You will develop and build our character, where You will show us and give us direction, that You would lead us. Thank You, Lord God, that You are faithful when we are faithless. Thank You, Lord God, that You would never lie. You have never broken Your promise to us, Lord God. We have abandoned the promises. We have left the promises, Lord God, but they are still there. So God, we ask this morning, Lord God, You would just speak to our hearts. We look forward to walking into our inheritance with You, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.